Welcome to this awesome Divine Office podcast. I'm here hosting again and celebrating the Divine Office with you, Dana Neusberger. The feedback that I got yesterday was simply that I breezed through too many readings too quickly, and it seemed as if a certain person could not really understand what the actions we were doing meant and what was actually going on. So to respond to that feedback, I'm going to slow down and kind of provide a little bit of intentional reflection as we go along. Father Timothy T. Gallagher, one of the great promoters of the Divine Office for the laity, says that oftentimes you just need a little bit of that intentional slowness, or you need to go back and refer to perhaps the line at the beginning of the psalm, introducing the psalm or something to make it a personal prayer. In any case, we have the very special feast day of two apostles. The liturgy celebrates apostles or apostolic men and women. Those are two different categories, apostolic men and apostles, every month. So every month there's supposed to be one of the 12 apostles celebrated. Sometimes you get more than one because you also are celebrating apostolic men. And recently Mary Magdalene was raised to this level also as an apostolic woman. So we used to celebrate Mary more as a very special optional memorial. This will be our first evening prayer together. Let this our joyful hymn extol the lives of both these blessed saints, apostles called by equal grace and with a single glory crowned. O Simon, stirred with the love of God and driven forth by eager zeal, you follow footsteps made by Christ and then proclaim his holy name. O Jude, by blood and spirit bound to Christ as kinsman and his friend, you preach the master and instruct the faithful by your holy written word. As shining witnesses to truth and victims for the love of God, you did not fear to die for Christ, to pour forth pure and blameless blood. O brightest stars in heaven above, grant us with strong and perfect faith to steer a course through rugged paths and ever strive for things on high. To Father, Son, and Paraclete, all glory be from age to age. Together may we share at last in heaven's joys forevermore. Amen. You are the men who have stood by me in my time of trial. That's Antiphon 1. Remember, as we pray the Psalms each day, the antiphons play a special role because they help us understand how something relates to Christ, or how we can take the prayer of the psalm and bring it into our own time. Like today we celebrate the apostles, and we're reminded that even though they fled, they were also those who stood by Jesus during his time of trial. Usually the sign of the cross happens a few times during the Magnificat or the Song of Mary from Luke's Gospel, at the beginning and of course at the end, during the blessing or the final closing statement, but not usually during the middle of the office. This is Psalm 116, verses 10 through 19. I trusted even when I said, I am sorely afflicted, and when I said in my alarm, no man can be trusted. How can I repay the Lord for his goodness to me? The cup of salvation I will raise, I will call on the Lord's name. My vows to the Lord I will fulfill before all his people. O precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his faithful. Your servant, Lord, your servant am I. You have loosened my bonds, a thanksgiving sacrifice I make. I will call on the Lord's name. My vows to the Lord I will fulfill before all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Precious is the love that drove the apostles forth to preach and teach, to exercise and heal, and finally to give their lives in witness to Christ, imitating him in their death. In Christ and in his love, he has made up for what we ourselves lacked. Help us fill up in our flesh what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Make us able to rejoice in following you each day. So that would be like a modification of the optional psalm prayer. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. You are the men who have stood by me in my time of trial. You always have the option of saying the antiphon after each stanza, which is like a paragraph break, marked by a paragraph break in the Psalms, or at the beginning and the end. Now we begin our second prayer with antiphon 2. I have lived among you as one who ministers to others. Psalm 126. When the Lord delivered Zion from bondage, it seemed like a dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. On our lips there were songs. The heathens themselves said, "What marvels the Lord worked for us! What marvels the Lord worked for them!" Indeed, we were glad. Deliver us, O Lord, from our bondage as streams in dry land. Those who are sowing in tears will sing when they weep. They go out full of tears, carrying seed for the sowing. They come back, full of song, carrying their sheaths. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Good and great Heavenly Father, you call us to follow your Son and to share in his royal power by proclaiming his word and making decisions to witness to it with our lives, so that we do not become unfaithful and barren in your service. Make us always remember the great gifts that you have given us during our lives, when our mouths were filled with laughter and we wanted to sing of your praise. Save the church during its times of distress. Through the same Christ our Lord, provide your wisdom and guidance, so that always looking toward you, we may image the Good Shepherd rightly. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. See, everyone makes mistakes. You may have heard me stumble a little bit with my words, and you also heard me say the glory to the Father twice. By the way, it's not the glory be, but yes, the bishops wanted to put in a slightly different version than the type that most Catholics have learned through their parents. But I'm glad I made the mistake, just to show that even when you've been praying this prayer for years and you're very devoted to it, when you're celebrating it well or you're talking about it with others, you can still make mistakes or blunders, and it's okay, you just step back into it. So this will be our third prayer. I have lived among you as one who ministers to others. I no longer call you servants, but friends, for I have shared with you everything I have heard from my Father. And then we're not going to pray a psalm, but we're going to pray from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Praised be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has bestowed on us in Christ every spiritual blessing in the heavens. God chose us in him before the world began to be holy and blameless in his sight. He predestined us to be his adopted sons through Jesus Christ. Such was his will and pleasure, that all might praise the glorious favor he has bestowed on us in his beloved. In him and through his blood we have been redeemed and our sins forgiven. So immeasurably generous is God's favor to us. God has given us the wisdom to understand fully the mystery, the plan he was pleased to decree in Christ, a plan to be carried out in Christ in the fullness of time, to bring all things into one in him, in the heavens and on earth. Pause for a moment of silence. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I no longer call you servants, but friends, for I have shared with you everything I have heard from my Father. So that concludes the first part of the office, where you speak to God in the inspired prayers and consider them. Now we have the part where we listen to a lesson from God, from Scripture. This is evening prayer, so I will substitute the short reading, which is Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13, for the office of readings today. And we can read, instead of a short homily, we can read the reflection from St. Cyril in the tradition of the Church, instead of a short homily. A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. Let us imitate the apostle just as he imitates Christ, is the caption. Men should regard us as servants of Christ and administrators of the mysteries of God. The first requirement of an administrator is that he prove trustworthy. It matters little to me whether you or any human court pass judgment on me. I do not even pass judgment on myself. Mind you, I have nothing on my conscience. But that does not mean that I am declaring myself innocent. The Lord is the one to judge me, so stop passing judgment before the time of his return. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and manifest the intentions of hearts. At that time, everyone will receive his praise from God. Brothers, I have applied all this to myself and Apollos by way of example for your benefit. May you learn from us not to go beyond what is set down, so that none of you will grow self-important by reason of his association with one person rather than another. Who confers any distinction on you? Name something you have that you have not received. If then you have received it, why are you boasting as if it were your own? At the moment you are completely satisfied. You have grown rich. You have launched upon your reign with no help from us. Would that you had really begun to reign. As I see it, God has put us apostles at the end of the line, like men doomed to die in the arena, a spectacle to the universe, to angels and men alike. We are fools on Christ's account, but in Christ you are wise. We are the weak ones, you the strong. They honor you while they sneer at us. Up to this very hour we go hungry and thirsty, poorly clad, roughly treated, wandering about homeless. We work hard at manual labor. When we are insulted, we respond with a blessing. Persecution comes our way. We bear it patiently. We are slandered and we try conciliation. We have become the world's refuge, the scum of all. That is the present state of affairs. I am writing you in this way not to shame you, but to admonish you as my beloved children. Granted, you have 10,000 guardians in Christ. You have only one Father. It was I who begot you in Christ Jesus through my preaching of the gospel. I beg you then, become imitators of me. Responsory prayer. I no longer call you servants, but my friends, for I have shared with you everything I have heard from my Father. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven have been revealed to you. Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I have shared with you everything I have heard from my Father. After a brief moment of silence, instead of the short homily, we will have a commentary on the Gospel of John by St. Cyril of Alexandria. Our Lord Jesus Christ has appointed certain men to be guides and teachers of the world and stewards of his divine mysteries. Now he bids them to shine out like lamps and to cast out their light, not only over the land of the Jews, but over every country under the sun, and over people scattered in all directions and settled in distant lands. That man has spoken truly who said, "No one takes honor upon himself except the one who is called by God." For it was our Lord Jesus Christ who called his own disciples, before all others, to a most glorious apostolate. These holy men became the pillar and mainstay of the truth, and Jesus said that he was sending them just as the Father had sent him. By these words, he is making clear the dignity of the apostolate and the incomparable glory of the power given to them. But he is also, it would seem, giving a hint about the methods they are to adopt in their apostolic mission. For if Christ thought it necessary to send out his intimate disciples in this fashion, just as the Father had sent him, then surely it was necessary that they whose mission was to be patterned on that of Jesus should see exactly why the Father had sent the Son. And so Christ interpreted the character of his mission to us in a variety of ways. Once he said, "I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And then at another time he said, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Accordingly, in affirming that they are sent by him just as he was sent by the Father, Christ sums up in a few words the approach they themselves should take to their ministry. From what he said, they would gather that it was their vocation to call sinners to repentance, to heal those who were sick in body or soul, to seek in all their dealings never to do their own will, but the will of him who sent them, and as far as possible to save the world by their teaching. Surely it is in all these respects that we find his holy disciples striving to excel. To ascertain this is no great labor. A single reading of the Acts of the Apostles or of St. Paul's writings is enough. Responsory prayer. You did not choose me, but I chose you to go forth and to bear fruit that will last forever. My Father is glorified when you bring forth fruit in abundance that will last forever. Having taken a moment of sacred silence to reflect on what God is speaking to us through these readings and short homily given by the tradition of the Church and St. Cyril, we can pray the Canticle of Mary, the Magnificat, and we begin with the antiphon and then making the sign of the cross on the first few words. When all things are made new and the Son of Man is enthroned in majesty, you will sit in judgment over the 12 tribes of Israel. That was the antiphon. This is the Canticle of Mary. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm. He has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. When all things are made new and the Son of Man is enthroned in heaven, you will sit in judgment over the 12 tribes of Israel. Now the intercessions. My brothers and sisters, we build on the foundation of the apostles. Let us pray to our Almighty Father for his holy people and say, be mindful of your church, O Lord. Father, you wanted your Son to be seen first by the apostles after the resurrection from the dead. We ask you to make us his witnesses to the furthest corners of the world. Be mindful of your church, O Lord, is the response. You sent your Son to preach your good news to the poor. Help us to preach this gospel to every creature. And you can say again, be mindful of your church, O Lord, or we can say it once at the end. It's up to your personal preference. You sent your Son to sow the seed of unending life. Grant that we who work at sowing the seed may share the joy of the harvest. Be mindful of your church, O Lord. You sent your Son to reconcile all to you through his blood. Help us all to work toward achieving this reconciliation. Be mindful of your church, O Lord. Your Son sits at your right hand in heaven. Let the dead enter your kingdom of joy. And that last one in evening prayer is always a prayer for the conversion, purification, and perfection of the souls in purgatory. It's worded in some very hard to understand ways sometimes, but that's always what the last intercession is in evening prayer written in the book. Now for a real last intercession, you can offer your personal intentions here and bring them, as Father Spitzer says, into union with Christ in the Eucharist, and together we all ask God for them, provided they be good for us. Be mindful of your church, O Lord, for these intentions. And our Father and a closing prayer conclude our liturgy for today, our prayer for today. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Father, you revealed yourself to us by the preaching of your apostles, Simon and Jude. By their prayers, give your church continued growth and increase the number of those who believe in you. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me today. And again, don't worry if this seems hard. Just listen to the recording and pray in whatever way you feel like your spirit can connect with God. We'll be doing this together for a long time, at least for the next year. So there's no reason to worry. Lord willing, we'll be doing it for the next year. Who knows what plans could be altered by God's plans. Dana signing off.